This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
The Apostle Paul wrote a letter, two letters actually, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians to a church at Thessalonica, a Greek city. And it's about the second coming of Christ, but it's more than that. It's about his relationship with the people. And so we're reading the last words of his letter, the first letter he wrote. And sometimes the last words of a letter can be very important for this reason. I've noticed that sometimes in a letter or an email, when somebody puts a P.S. at the bottom, little clue here, sometimes the P.S. is really why they wrote to you. It wasn't the letter. It was, oh, by the way. And the by the way was the most important part of the letter or the email. I don't know if you've ever discovered that, but that's true. You may have written a letter or an email like that where you spent a lot of time on different areas, but what you really wanted to get across was the P.S. or the by the way. And these are the last words of the Apostle Paul to the church at Thessalonica. It's chapter 5, beginning at verse 19. Let's read it. Don't put out the Holy Spirit's fire. Don't treat prophecies as if they amount to nothing. Put everything to the test. Hold on to what's good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all the believers or brothers with a holy kiss. While the Lord is watching, here is what I command you. Have this letter read to all the believers. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Sometimes when I preach through a text, I start at the back or at the end of it and work my way up to the top. I'm going to do that today. I don't always do that, but occasionally I will for this reason. I want to end with the most important verse, I think, in this passage about don't put out the Holy Spirit's fire in your life. Don't quench the Holy Spirit, to use the King James Version. So that's where I want to end. So we're going to start at the bottom. And I'm going to deal with a verse that causes people to laugh, to smirk, to giggle. But it's a real verse. It's verse 26. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. What's he talking about? There's nothing sensual, nothing sexual about this at all. It was a way of greeting in the early church where people would embrace one another and kiss each other on the cheek. Some Bible scholars say it was strictly a man would do that with a man, woman with a woman, and that was part of their greeting. But you know where you see the holy kiss given? In Hollywood. You ever watch Jay Leno? You ever watch David Letterman? And a guest comes on and they kiss David or Jay and they kiss on the cheek and it's very perfunctory. But that's similar, but it's not what they were doing in the early church. It was a way of greeting a brother or sister in Christ to say, we have a bond that's in Christ. We have a relationship that defies imagination, and we're related in Christ Jesus because of what he did for us on the cross, and we're going to have an eternity together, and that's the purpose of it. Now, I realize that some of you are uncomfortable with that, and so different people have different levels of comfortability today with embracing or hugging or whatever. There was a Catholic church that I know of that put out in their newsletter that on such and such a day, they were going to start embracing one another after the Mass was over. On the Sunday before that was to start, the Mass was ended, and a man turned around to a woman he didn't know, she didn't know him, and he put his arms out to embrace her, and she said, hey, that funny stuff doesn't start till next Sunday, pal. That funny stuff. Some of you think that may be funny stuff, and I understand that. However, there is power in greeting somebody and shaking hands. I'll use this example. Have you ever put your hand out and somebody wouldn't shake your hand? How'd you feel?
Well, today we began the last message in the 1st Thessalonians sermon series called Prepped or Panicked. We'll continue in the last few words of this book of the Bible tomorrow on Cross Hope on XM Sirius 131, the Family Talk Channel. God bless you, and thanks for listening to Cross Hope. Well, yesterday on Cross Hope, we began literally with some of the last words of 1 Thessalonians 5, the last words of the book, where Paul tells the people at Thessalonica, greet all the brothers there at the church with a holy kiss. What in the world does that mean? We talk about that at the end of yesterday's message. We continue with that thought line today. God bless you.
There is power in greeting somebody and shaking hands. I'll use this example. Have you ever put your hand out and somebody wouldn't shake your hand? How'd you feel? It's happened to me many times in the ministry. You say, goodness, and nothing happens. And so we know the negative, the reverse of that, but there's something powerful sometimes in greeting someone with a hand or with both hands, hugging them, putting an arm around somebody. Let me tell you a powerful story to illustrate it. Connie is from South Bend, Indiana, not far from where I grew up, near Hammond, Indiana, near Northwest Indiana. She writes a simple story. Let it speak to you. A few days after my mother's funeral, I was sitting in a waiting room of a doctor's office when I told a woman of my recent loss. With a deadpan face, she said, "I have no words that can take the pain away. I know this because I lost my mother several years ago. I still long for her. The emptiness and loneliness that you feel will stay with you forever. But in time, it will subside." And then after a long pause, and in a tone that was meant to acknowledge our relationship as strangers, as well as grieving souls, she said, "Can I give you a hug? Can I give you a hug?" And Connie said, "You will not know. You don't have any idea what that meant, that a complete stranger who said, 'I lost my mom too, and I can relate to that. Can I give you a hug?' It meant so much to her." And my point is this: if a stranger's hug meant a lot to this woman named Connie in South Bend, Indiana, don't you think it's important for us to at least greet one another and shake hands perhaps? There's power in what we do. There's power when we pray with people. We take them by the hand at the hospital. Why, is there something magical about that? No. We're just connecting with them, saying, "We're with you and praying for you at this time." There's power in that, sometimes in an embrace. And that's what Paul says, greet all the brothers or the believers with a holy kiss. Now I want to look at verse 23 because it's a prayer. Let's bring that up, verse 23. "God is the God who gives peace. May he make you holy through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept free from blame. May you be without blame from now until our Lord Jesus Christ comes." This is a prayer that Paul has for the people at Thessalonica. Here's my thought. What would happen if every husband got alone this week and said, "I'm going to pray this for my wife"? What would happen if every wife in this room said, 3 o'clock today, I'm going to get alone and I'm just going to get in the room and I'm going to pray this prayer for my husband. We're going to pray this prayer for our children. We're going to pray this prayer for our parents. God is the God who gives peace. May he make you holy through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept free from blame. That doesn't mean perfect. It means that no charge can be laid at your feet of unconfessed sin to be without blame. May you be without blame from now until our Lord Jesus Christ comes. I want you to notice something. We're not trying to be heavy duty theologically or philosophically, but you are a triune being. I personally believe you are like the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are body, soul, and spirit. The body is your physical body. Everybody knows what that means. Your soul is your personality. Your soul is the part of you that thinks. The soul is what part decides. Your soul is what gets angry, gets ticked. That's your soul. But your spirit is the part of you that calls out to God.
Well, we're out of time. We'll develop that thought in full tomorrow on Cross Hope on XM Sirius 131, the Family Talk Channel.
The body is your physical body. Everybody knows what that means. Your soul is your personality. Your soul is the part of you that thinks. The soul is what part decides. Your soul is what gets angry, gets ticked. That's your soul. But your spirit is the part of you that calls out to God. Let me give you an example. You're driving down I-75 and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit of God illuminates your heart in such a way that you realize that something you didn't think was such a big deal was a sin, and you cry out without even knowing, "God, forgive me." That's your spirit crying out to God. You're in a crisis with your family and something's going on and you don't even know where the words are coming from and you say, "God, help us." That's your spirit crying out to God. You're praying for a son or daughter and there's some burden that you have on your heart. In the middle of the night, you wake up at 3 a.m. and say, "God be with him. God be with her." That's your spirit crying out to the Lord. We are body, soul, and spirit, not just body and soul. And that's an important prayer for somebody to pray for their family today. Now the focus is the beginning, verse 19 and 20, 21. "Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. And let's go on into verse 22. Avoid every kind of evil. I want to talk about that first. To avoid every kind of evil means this. What evil do you allow in your own life? You don't have to, and I don't have to play the game and say, well, I don't let evil in my life. Every man in this room has evil in his life, and he knows it. Every woman in this room has evil in her life, and she knows it. And I tell people about verses like this. This verse means different things to different people, but it means something to everybody. It means different things to different men in this room, but it means something to every man in this room. It means different things to different women in this room, but it means something to every woman in this room. Avoid every kind of evil means avoid that which leads to evil. For some of you, it impacts what you watch. For some of you, it impacts what you read. For some of you, it impacts what you listen to. For some of you, it impacts who you hang out with. Do you remember when those of you that raised teenagers and you weren't sure where your children were? And I can identify with this. What did you say? Tell me who he's with, and I'll tell you where he is. Well, tell me who she's with, and I'll tell you what they're doing, because it usually indicates what they're doing by the people they're with. Not always true, but it's true a lot of the cases. Avoid every kind of evil means, do you avoid situations and scenarios in your life that you're not going to be placed in temptation's way? That's what it means. Well, let's focus on 19 now. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Isn't it interesting? The Holy Spirit's activity is compared to a fire. That's interesting. What's it take for a fire to burn? There's three things. It's called the triangle. It takes oxygen, fuel, and heat. And in order to have those elements, you have to have heat source, you have to have fuel, and you have to have oxygen. So a fire suppression takes place when you remove one of those elements. And isn't it interesting? Paul says, don't suppress the Spirit's fire in your life. Don't do things in your life that are going to inhibit the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, according to L.D. McGarry that I quoted earlier, the Holy Spirit illuminates the Word of God in your life. It's the Holy Spirit that takes the Scripture we read like today. And the one that works in your life is not me. It's the Holy Spirit that takes what I just read for you, and then He works into your life in those verses.
Well, tune into part 4 of the final message from 1 Thessalonians tomorrow, same time, same place, on Sirius XM 131. God bless you.
Now, I want to give you some examples you can write down how you can stifle or quench the Spirit of God in your life from Ephesians 4. You can look these up later. Ephesians 4:30 says we should not grieve the Holy Spirit. Same thing as stifling, or even worse. To grieve, you only can grieve a person. So we can grieve the Holy Spirit according to Ephesians 4:30. But you can grieve the Holy Spirit according to Ephesians 4 by living like pagans. Verses 17 to 19. What's a pagan? You know, pagan is such a funny sounding word. A pagan doesn't mean somebody who necessarily worships an idol. A pagan, get this, is a man or woman who says, I couldn't care less about God. I got things to do, man. I've got places to go. I got people to see. I've got a life to live. I don't need some God in my life telling me what to do. That's a pagan. Somebody who has no regard for the Lord. And to live like a pagan is something that grieves the Spirit of God. It's something that stifles the Holy Spirit in my life. I found out, according to chapter 4 of Ephesians, by lying. Did you know continual, ongoing, accumulative lying is something that grieves the Holy Spirit of God? Do you realize how many people lie at work, how many people lie at school, how many people lie on Facebook, how many people lie in every venue in your life? Lying is a way of life. And according to Ephesians 4:25, we grieve the Spirit of God by lying. And we stifle the Spirit of God by lying. By being angry, according to verses 26 and 27. People talk about anger as if it's strictly an emotional thing or a psychological thing. Folks, listen to this. This is really important. There is a spiritual dimension to anger that most people don't want to acknowledge. Let me say that again. There's a spiritual dimension to your anger that most Christian or people don't even want to acknowledge. What do I mean by that? There's a spiritual component to when you get angry and you're mad and you're continually on a burn and you're stewing about something. Satan can work in your anger. Why? Because the Bible says, in your anger, do not sin. Do you know what that means? It's possible to sin in the process of having that anger. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Stealing, 4:28, can be a way of grieving the Spirit of God. Cursing, in verse 29, by being bitter. Bitterness doesn't start out as sin, but it always ends up that way. You've heard me say that before, so there's nothing new to that. Bitterness doesn't start out as sin, but it always ends that way. If you're bitter long enough toward a husband, a wife, a family member, a friend, a relative, I guarantee you, sin will creep into that, and you will stifle the Spirit of God. You will smother the Spirit of God working in your life because of bitterness. And the last one, their last two, unforgiving spirit in 4:32. If we're unforgiving, we stifle the Spirit of God. And by being sexually immoral, chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, people don't talk about that today in 2013, but it's there in chapter 5. Read it yourself. To grieve the Spirit is to act out in a sinful manner, whether it is in thought only or in thought and deed. You know, grieving the Spirit, get this, is not something that I do that hurts the Spirit or stifles, but it can be something I think. Because the way we think impacts what we do eventually. You know how it happens? Oh yeah, I got that going on in my life. That's the Holy Spirit. Oh yeah, evil. Yeah, that's going on at work with so-and-so. In other words, the Holy Spirit illuminates the Word of God to you. The Holy Spirit brings us into intimacy with the Lord. What is it that draws us to the Lord? It's the Holy Spirit.
Well, we conclude this message, the last message from the 1 Thessalonians series, tomorrow on Crosshope on XM Sirius 131, the Family Talk Channel.
I'm going to close with a story that I think speaks of it, not in a dramatic way. It's just a simple story that I think some of you have heard me tell before. Annie and I went to Cincinnati Christian University with a young man that I met as a freshman, and I said to him, tell me your story. How did you happen to come to this school? Why are you here as opposed to anywhere else? He told me a story that he said, my parents told me that if I would go to a state university in Ohio, they would pay the bill. If I went to UC, if I went to Miami, if I went to Ohio State and Columbus, OU and Athens, if I went to Kent State, went to Bowling Green, that they would pay the way. And that, he said, but when I told them that I wanted to go to this college in Cincinnati to prepare for the ministry, they said, you're on your own. You're on your own. And it's sad. And I don't say that they were evil. I'm not saying they're wicked because they did that. They just did it. Now, here's the part of the story that some of you will remember. Come with me 25, 30 years later when that young man who's now in the ministry gets a phone call from mom one day. Dad just died. Son, I'd like for you to do your dad's funeral. Isn't that interesting to go full circle like that? The dad who said, I'm not paying a dime for you to go and didn't pay a dime for him to go was the one that whose son then presided and preached his own dad's funeral. You find any irony in that? I do. You find anything in that story that just kind of pulls at your heart? I do. And I'm not saying, again, they were evil people or wicked people, but is it possible that they were trying to inadvertently, not intentionally, unintentionally, stifling the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God was at work in that young man's life, and he says, I really feel called to go in the ministry. I really feel called to be used of God, but no, you go to OU, you go to OSU, you go to Miami, you go to UC, we'll take care of the bill. But not there, not at that school. I've always remembered that. It really made such a deep impression on me because I had parents who wanted me to go to the school. I had parents who said, we support you in this decision. He had parents who said, we do not support you in this decision spiritually. Here's my question. What's going on in your life right now, 2013? You're the only one who knows the answer. It's quenching the Spirit of God. Is it a relationship? Is it a habit? Is it an ongoing thing in your life? Something that you know in your spirit is quenching, is suppressing, like fire suppression, suppressing the Spirit of Almighty God in your life. And my admonition is this: face it and deal with it. And deal with it in the name of Christ. Decide today that you're going to be a person who's not going to quench the Spirit of God. You're not going to live your life in such a way that everything that happens, every thought that is thought, everything that's read is something that stifles and suppresses the Spirit of God. But I'm going to let the Spirit work in my life and give the Lord permission. Lord, you have permission to guide me, to speak truth into my life, to help me to be the man or woman you meant me to be. Not the society demands me to be, but what you meant me to be. What a difference it could make. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us today about not quenching the Spirit. That's a temptation that all of us face. Every man in this room has things in his life that stifles or quenches his Spirit. Every woman, perhaps, that's here today, something in her life that's quenching, suppressing, dousing the Spirit's work in her life.
Well, let me ask you an honest question. Is there something in your life that's quenching or suppressing the Spirit of God in your life? My guess is you probably know what it is. Would you deal with that in the power and in the authority of Christ today? God bless you, my friend, and thank you for listening to Crosshope.
You have been listening to Crosshope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Crosshope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Crosshope Ministries.